Amen. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. And a very special welcome to all of our visitors here, those who are here for the first time. We are so happy to see you. We urge that you not leave the worship service immediately after the worship service, but please do stay behind and fellowship with us. We'll be very happy to get to know you. Now, it's so... We must always remind ourselves that time is passing really fast. And very soon we will have finished one quarter of the year. Did you realize yet? You realize that very soon March will be over and we will have finished one quarter of the year, entering into the next quarter, yes, into autumn, and then very soon winter will come. Yes, actually we are already right in the midst of autumn and very soon winter will be here. Now, so you see, time passes so very, very quickly. How soon will the Lord return? His return is very near. The Word of God says that it's so near as even at the doors. So, my dear friends, I ask all of us here, are we ready to meet our Lord Jesus Christ when He returns? Remember, all of us shall have to give an account of what we did for Him when He returns. Are we ready, my dear friends? I trust all of us every day may pose this question to ourselves and prepare ourselves for His soon return. Now the subject this morning is gifts given to me by the one true living God. For what purpose? Gifts given to me for what purpose? And I speak primarily from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 1 to 11. Now today there are professed believers, maybe not true believers, but professed believers who claim that they are gifted with the power to heal, the power to prophesy, in other words, the power to tell the future, and the power to cast out demons, the power to speak in tongues, and to perform miracles. And they say that these gifts are still present today. And if these gifts are not present, they say that then the gospel that is being preached is not the full gospel. Their argument is this: during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth and during the time of the early church, people were vested with this kind of power, given this kind of gifts. So if these gifts are absent, then the gospel that is being preached today is not the full gospel. So they say. And then there are those who profess that they receive they have the gift of receiving special revelations from the one true living God. In other words, they say, I see this vision, or God spoke to me last night, or God tells me to do this, tells me to do that. He speaks to me directly. They profess to be receiving direct revelations from God. I told you this before. I tell you again. Yes, it sounds a little amusing, but this guy really was quite deluded. Now, he was a young European and a Caucasian. One night he came to visit with us in our church in Singapore after we had our prayer meeting. He was not present at the prayer meeting, but after our prayer meeting he came, he went into our church office, and then he told us this: the Lord has told me that I should be serving in this church. But the problem was, the Lord didn't tell us that He was going to be serving in this church. And of course, in our minds, we thought that this man was very deluded. Then by our gesturing, we didn't tell him that he was deluded. Of course, we were too polite to do that. And by our gesturing, by our questioning and so forth, he realized that his service in our church, to our church, was not wanted. And so very quickly he said, oh, the Lord has just told me that I should not be serving in this church. And he stood up and he left. Now, did he really have the gift of receiving revelations from the one true living God? Of course not. This man was deluded. Now, there are two kinds of gifts, all right? Maybe I should use the past tense. There were two kinds of gifts, two kinds of spiritual gifts. One kind comprises the miraculous, spectacular gifts, also known as sign gifts. And then the other kind would be the non-spectacular gifts. Now, the spectacular gifts, for example, would be comprising the gifts of casting out demons, the gift of speaking in tongues, the gift of healing, the gift of performing miracles. Yes, these will be spectacular gifts. And then there are other gifts that are more ordinary, non-spectacular gifts. The gift of pastoring, the gift of preaching, the gift of counseling, the gift of teaching, the gift of doing administrative work. Now, these would be non-spectacular gifts given by the Lord. Now, the question is, do sign and gifts or spectacular gifts still exist today? Now, the answer, based on the Word of God, is no. They do not exist anymore. Today, such gifts have disappeared. They are no longer here. Now, we need to understand why these spectacular or sign gifts were given in the first place. Now, sign gifts and spectacular gifts were actually given to authenticate the messenger and the message given by the messenger. Now, we have to understand that in the early church, the whole Bible was not written yet. Yes? So how were people to know that when a person stood up and said, I speak to you in the name of the Lord, and I give you this message from the Lord, that this message indeed was a message from the one true living God? You couldn't tell, except that this man, when he spoke, his speaking would be accompanied by signs and wonders. When people saw the signs and wonders, the miracles that they were able to perform, then they had to come to this conclusion that this man was indeed a messenger sent from God, and he was speaking a message given by God. But today there is really no need for that anymore, for signs and wonders to authenticate messages, because the Bible is fully written. We don't need those signs and wonders anymore to authenticate messages or the messengers. So the purpose of the gifts given to the apostles in those days were to authenticate their apostleship. Yes, people seeing the apostles performing those signs and wonders could straight away say that, yes, their claim is true. They are indeed apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 actually tell us very, very clearly what signs and wonders are for. All right, if you look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let me read these two verses to you. How shall we escape, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? The Lord gave the message of salvation, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, who were the them that heard him? Of course, the disciples, right? Then go on, please. God also bearing them witness. You see, God bore them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So God bore them witness. God authenticated their messages, authenticate the messengers and the messengers. With what? With signs and wonders. All right, I hope you are clear what signs and wonders are for, or were for. Now, generally, what is the purpose of gifts given to us? Whether they be spectacular or non-spectacular gifts, so whether they are sign gifts or non-sign gifts, what is the purpose of these gifts that are given to us? Now, generally speaking, the gifts given to us is for the purpose or are for the purpose of building people up in the faith, given to us to benefit other people. They are given to us not to profit ourselves, but to profit other people. So that's what I want to talk about first of all this morning. Gifts for the profiting of others. Then I will continue with gifts not for your asking. In other words, you can't come to God and say, God, Lord, give me this gift, me this, give me that gift. You can't do that. Gifts are not for your asking. And then finally, gifts must be subject to testing, whether they are genuine gifts or not. So gifts must be subject to testing. First, gifts for profiting others. Second, gifts not for your asking. Number three, gifts not must be subject to testing. Now, the Lord gives us gifts to profit other people. Now, how do we know that? Because God says so. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6 and verse 7. Two verses. I read for you. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning the evidence of the Spirit, is given to every man for what purpose? To profit myself? No, but to profit with all, meaning to say to profit other people. So the gifts given to us or given to people in ancient times were for the purpose of their profiting other people and not profiting themselves. Now this understanding is very important. The gifts or the talents given to us, my dear friends, are not for selfish use. Now, this morning, I intend not to make a distinction between gifts and talents. I just lump them together, all right? Although there is a distinction between gifts and talents, I would not distinguish them this morning. But just to say that these gifts and talents are given to us today for a purpose. And that purpose is not to profit ourselves. Gifts are given to us not for selfish use. Gifts and talents are given to us to profit other people. And then, strictly speaking, the talents or gifts given to us are not ours. God owns them. All right? We are merely stewards of the gifts or talents given to us. In other words, we are managers of the gifts and talents given to us. We don't own them. Now, how do we know that? Again, the Word of God says so. All right, it's very, very important we turn to the Word of God for authority. I didn't say that, but it's God who says that, that the gifts and the talents given to us are for the purpose of profiting other people. And then we are to be the managers of these gifts. We don't own them. I read for you from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, I read for you. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We are to be good stewards, not good owners, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. God gives us these gifts, we are to be good managers, good stewards of these gifts, and we are to use them wisely for the profit of other people and not for ourselves. Now, they are not to show how talented we are. Now, so when a preacher preaches, it must not be to display his oratorical skills. It's not for that purpose, all right? Or when a musician plays, it must not be to show how musically talented he is. That must not be the purpose. Or when we participate in a Bible study, it must not be to show how well we are to put across our opinion of what the passage says, and it is not to show how much Bible knowledge we have. It is not for that purpose. Every time we come together to study the Word of God, the purpose must be to profit other people, profit our fellow fellow participants at the Bible study. Now, sometimes do we not get the feeling that we have done well in the service of the Lord? Don't we feel that? We've done something and say, I think I've done well. Sometimes don't we get that feeling? My dear friends, watch it. Yes, during those times, maybe we felt well because we were just displaying our talents. And we displayed our talents well, so we thought that we did well. On that occasion, maybe we were leading in a Bible study, and we thought that, well, I had persuaded the people very well today. I argued my case very, very well, and I was able to refer to Scripture very, very quickly. So I feel very, very good that I've done well at the Bible study. But what was the net effect? The net effect simply was this. People were not really profited spiritually by your participation. Yes, what they did was, what they came away with was a very, very good impression of you. That's all. Wow, that guy was really good. He was able to refer to Scripture very, very quickly. He could argue very well. He could present the case very, very well. He sounded very, very convincing. That's all, my dear friends. So let's be very careful. Every time we do anything for the Lord, let us be sure that our purpose is not to profit ourselves, not to show off our talent, but our purpose must be to try to profit other people. The great preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, said this, that there were days when he thought he preached very, very well. But those were the days when nobody testified that they were that he or she was had profited from the message preached by him. Yes, nobody professed that he or she was blessed by his message. Perhaps during those times, he was just showing off his oratorical ability. That was all. Very, very impressive as a very good speaker. That was all. But then there were times when he said he felt very, very miserable because he felt that he didn't preach well at all. And it was during those times that people testified that they were very blessed by the message preached by him. Now, maybe those were the times when Spurgeon wasn't concentrating on his ability to preach, but was more focused on building other people up in the faith. That was why he was such a great blessing to other people. So friends, when we serve the Lord, let's remember, the gifts given to us are not for us to display our talents or our gifts, but the gifts given to us are for the blessing of other people. The Lord will surely bless us, friends, in the use of our talents and our gifts if we always remember this purpose. Now then, the use of our talents is not to aggrandize ourselves. In other words, it is not to make ourselves look great, make ourselves look good. Surely it is not for the purpose of elevating ourselves. The Pharisees, during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth, was very, very good at that. Very good at elevating themselves, very good at showing off how religious they were. They wanted people to look up to them. And so they would stand in very, very prominent places, in prominent street corners, not in a little corner, but in some well-placed street corners. And then there they will be praying. And the Lord says this, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." Don't be like the Pharisees, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. My dear friends, our use of our talents should not be to make ourselves look very good and great. That should not be the purpose. Yes, and remember, the fundamental purpose must be this. The use of our talents and gifts must always be for the profit of other people. Then there are those who use their talents for lording over other people in the church. Perhaps these people have better knowledge than other people in the church. Maybe they have better knowledge of the Word of God than other people, or maybe they have a better knowledge of the operation of the law of the country. Or it could be their ability to organize or to manage. Now, instead of using this knowledge or the gifts given to them or the talents given to them to profit other people, they make use of these things given to them to lord over other people. Yes, instead of using these gifts to build other people up in the faith, they use this to control people, to lord over other people. Now, I've seen in some churches, some leaders become so powerful in the church because they have got great ability to manage and to organize to the extent that they think of themselves as the employers in the church. And they use their skills, their ability to manage and to run the church, to lord over other people. And very often in such churches, you see the leaders elevating themselves to that position, and they tell the pastor what to do. Yes, they try to control the pastor, and they will treat the pastor like an employee. Now, it is true, the pastor is an employee of the church according to the labor laws because he receives a salary from the church, and that is absolutely true. But he is also the spiritual leader in the church, and so he should be accorded that kind of respect. But I've seen in one church where the leaders have gained so much power because of their ability to organize and to manage, they treat the pastor like an employee. That should never be the case. Yes. When little Wilhelmina was crowned Queen of Holland, the little girl was just too young to appreciate the gravity of the occasion. So during the day of her coronation, when she and her mother were taken in a carriage down the street, people were cheering, and people were cheering her very, very jubilantly. And then she turned to her mother and said, "Mama, do all these people belong to me?" The mother said, "No, my dear, you belong to these people, not the people belong to you. You belong to these people." That special gift of her being the ruler of the people was not given to her to lord over them, but to serve them. That was the purpose of the gift. Likewise, my dear friends, the gifts that are given to us not to lord over people, but the gifts given to us are given to us so that we may be able to serve other people better. You remember what the Lord said? He said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came not to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." That's what the Lord came for. He has set us that great example, my dear friends. So the gifts given to us are for the purpose of serving other people and not to lord over other people. Now, there is a teaching that goes around in charismatic circles that we can pray in tongues, because praying in tongues is for the purpose of edifying ourselves. So we pray in tongues to God, we'll be edifying ourselves. And then they quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 to 4. I'd like us to turn to this passage. They say they can pray in tongues to build up their own faith. So they say, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 to 4. I read for you this passage, but keep your finger at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 2 to 4. "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue," verse 2, "speaketh not unto men, but unto God." So if a person speaks in tongue, he says that he will be speaking unto God. "For no man understandeth he, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." But he that prophesieth, meaning to say a person who preaches, not in tongues, but who preaches in language that can be easily understood. And then when he preaches in that manner, then he will speak to the edification and exhortation and the comfort of those to whom the message is addressed. In other words, if a person preaches in ordinary language, language that people can understand, then that language, that kind of preaching will be very good. It edifies the hearers. Now verse 4, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church." The person who preaches actually builds up the church, but the person who speaks in unknown tongue edifies himself. Then they say, so you see, you just look at verse 4. Don't you see that if I were to speak in tongues to God, then I will be edifying myself. This sounds very, very good. But friends, you look at this passage very carefully. Was Paul encouraging the Corinthian Christians to speak in tongues, or was he discouraging them from speaking in tongues? Actually, he was discouraging them. He was not encouraging them. He was discouraging them. He was, in fact, encouraging them to prophesy. In other words, to use language that people can understand to speak the messages of God, rather than to speak in tongues. Yes? Now, if anyone were to be edified, let's say a person were to pray in tongues, and if anyone was edified, who was the one edified? The person who prayed, right? The person who prayed would be edified. But then this would be a wrongful use of gifts given, the gift given to that person. Because the gift given to the person is for what purpose? To edify himself or edify other people? Of course, to edify other people. So that use will be wrongful. It will be going contrary to the teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, which says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, to profit other people, not to profit himself." Now, let me digress a little bit so to give you an understanding of this passage, all right? Now, listen very carefully. Now, in those days, what were tongues given? Now, tongues, by the way, were intelligible language. In other words, they were really languages, not some kind of gibberish. Real languages. Now, what was the purpose of tongues given to people in those days? Now, let's say a person was given the gift of tongues. Now, when he was given a gift of tongues, he actually was given a message. A message from whom? A message from God, of course. God gave him a message to speak, and God gave him the message to speak in tongues. So he was to speak in tongues in that speak that message in tongues. Now, can you imagine this person, instead of speaking that message to people, he was speaking that message to whom? The word of God says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God." And he was speaking that message to whom? To God. Don't you see how ridiculous it is? God gave him the message to speak to other people. Then instead of speaking to other people that message, he used the same message to speak to God. You see how ridiculous that situation was. So, my dear friends, people who interpret this passage to say that this is an encouragement for me to speak in tongues so that I edify myself actually misinterpret this passage. Now, my point is this. Gifts are given to us not for self-profiting. Remember this. Gifts are given to us for the profit of others. That's basic. Now, how should our gifts be used? The Lord, through the great Apostle Paul, says this in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So we are to present our bodies unto God, for him to make use of, which is our reasonable service. Now the word service here actually may be translated as worship, which is our reasonable worship unto God. Yes? Now, in other words, we are to yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness for God to make use of. Now the gifts that God has given to us, whether they be preaching, teaching, playing the instruments, counseling, administration, providing hospitality, attending to the physical needs of the church, must be handled with our yielding our bodies as instruments of righteousness unto God for him to make use of. In other words, we are to make use of these gifts given to us in a very worshipful manner. The gifts given to us must be used in a very reverential manner. If the use is to be correct, they must be reverentially used. Now let's take playing the instrument, for example, in the church. Now the instrumentalist gift of playing the instrument must be treated with reverence. In other words, when a pianist plays the piano, he must realize that he is actually worshiping God with his playing. Did you realize that, all you who are pianists in this church? Yes. Every time you play the instrument, you must realize that you are actually worshiping God with your playing. Now, if you have that kind of mind, that kind of thinking, with that kind of attitude, then you will be playing the instrument right. It must be made use of to help the congregation members to worship God and not to detract people from worshiping God. That is why in this church we don't have the electric guitars and synthesizers and so on and so forth, because we know that this will detract people from worshiping the one true living God. Then you say, what about the organ? Yes, we have the organ here. The organ is a very, very appropriate instrument for use in the church. But can the playing of the organ be abused? Of course it can be abused also. Yes, even though it's a very, very good instrument to be used in the church. There was this pastor who was very, very upset and very troubled by this organist who was very, very showy in the way he played the instrument. The pastor said, the way he played the organ was like the proud strutting of a peacock. And that's how he handled the keyboard. You know, he played like the way a peacock would strut. Yes, now would such a playing be glorifying to God? Of course not. The instrument must be handled in a very reverential way. Now, if our gifts are to be of service to the Lord, if our gifts are to be of use to help other people worship the one true living God, then our gifts must be used reverentially. Then we must also use our gifts with care. Now, in other words, we must nurture our gifts. Now, if the Lord has given us the gift of teaching, for example, then we must not be very happy with our standard of teaching. All right, if we've taught well, good. Let us continue to improve. Let us not be happy, satisfied with the level that we have arrived at. Now, then, if the Lord has given us the gift to play the instrument, as we said, let us do our very best to improve on this gift, so that our playing will be more worshipful, so that we will be able to encourage people to worship the one true living God in a more worshipful manner by the way we play. And if we are given to hospitality, let us pray that we will improve on what? On our cheerfulness in providing hospitality to people. Yes, that kind of service will be most pleasing to the Lord. Friends, we must work hard at improving our gifts so that we will be more and more effective in our service for Him. And I'm so pleased to say that in this church, I can see that there have been lots of improvements in the service of people unto the Lord. People have made effort to improve on the gifts that the Lord has given to them. Yes, the deacons I see have improved very much in the way they exhort at the church prayer meeting, which means that they have been working on their gift to exhort. Then the instrumentalists, I also see improvement in the way they play their instrument. They have worked on improving their gift to play the instrument. And then I've also seen, it's been reported to me that teachers have also improved in the way they teach. Yes, now that's good. We must continue to improve on the gifts that the Lord has given to us. Yes, we must take care to improve on our ability to serve, to use our gifts well for the service to the Lord and service to other people. Then we must use the gifts given to us faithfully. Yes, that's how we should be using our gifts. Use our gifts faithfully. From the parable of the Lord and his three servants, we learn the lesson that we must be faithful in our service unto the Lord. Remember this Lord, before he left home to go on a long trip over a long period of time, he gave his servants 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent respectively. Now the servants were to trade with the talents given to them. The first servant with 5 talents traded his 5 talents and gained another 5 talents for the Lord. And then the servant with 2 talents traded his 2 talents and gained another 2 talents for the Lord. And then the last servant, given 1 talent, did nothing to his talent. He was very lazy. He hid his talent. Now on the day of reckoning, when the Lord returns, the Lord commended the 5 talented servant and the 2 talented servant. He said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But to the unfaithful servant with 1 talent who went to hide his talent, he said, you are slothful and you are wicked. The Lord said that to him, you are slothful, you are wicked, and he was cast into outer darkness. So friends, the lesson is clear. We are to use our gifts faithfully. Now, years ago, there was this lady in Mother Church, I think I could have told you this before, who was not the most talented instrumentalist. I would say that she possibly would have 1 or 2 talents only as an instrumentalist. Of course, she was gifted as a musician, she could sing well, but she was not gifted at playing. Right? She was only gifted maybe 1 or 2 talents. But I like her playing. Because why? When she played the piano or when she played the organ, although she made lots and lots of mistakes and sometimes people laugh at her mistakes, she was very, very faithful in the way she played. She was very, very spiritual in the way she played. I like her to accompany me. Now, then there were times when the appointed pianist or organist didn't show up. What did she do? She very, very quickly stood up and took their places. Yes, she did that. And then this lady really served the Lord very, very faithfully with the few talents that she had. Yes, surely that is a very, very good example for us to follow. Now the next question is, can we choose the talents we want? The We said this already as one of my points. Gifts are not for the asking. Yes, we can't come before the Lord and say, Lord, I prefer this gift, I prefer that gift. I don't want this gift, I don't want that gift. We cannot come before the Lord and say that to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11. Let me read for you. But all these worketh that one and the same self, same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Yes, all these gifts are given by God through his mighty Holy Spirit individually. Severally means individually as he will, as he determines, he gives. So, gifts are given in accordance to his will. We cannot murmur and say, Lord, why didn't you give me that gift? Why didn't you give me that gift? My friends, let us be very, very careful that we not be envious of the gifts other people may have. Now, the problem with many people who murmur is that, yes, they will not serve with the one or two talents that they have. They say, oh, I must have the five talents, then I'll serve. But with one or two talents, I won't serve. My dear friends, that's not right. Because the Lord says, these gifts are given to you as he so determines. And if you have those gifts, use them. Use them for his service. Use them to bless other people. Now, one of the false teachings in charismatic circles is that for a person to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he must be able to speak in tongues. If he doesn't speak in tongues, it means he's not filled with the Holy Spirit. This is one of the teachings in some charismatic churches. Yes. So, what do they do in such churches? In such churches, they even hold classes to teach people how to speak in tongues. Yes, that's what they do. My dear friends, to ask for the gift in tongues is very, very contrary to the teaching given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11, which says, but all these worketh that one and the same self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. You just can't come before the Lord and say, Lord, please give me the gift of tongues. You cannot do that. The Lord will give to people gifts as he determines how gifts ought to be given. Now, whatever gifts the Lord has given to us, let's be grateful that he has given to us. Now, the Corinthian Christians were saved from an idolatrous background. They were saved from out of darkness into God's marvelous light. You look at verses 1 and 2, the kind of background that they were saved from. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Now that the Lord has given, saved them, now that the Lord has saved them and has given those special gifts, they must be using those gifts to serve the Lord. They must use those gifts to be a blessing to others as a sign of gratitude to what the Lord had done for them. Likewise, my dear friends, we have been saved from out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he has given us this wonderful, wonderful privilege to serve him. Let us be very, very thankful that he has given us these wonderful privileges to serve him. So let us not hold back the gifts or the talents that he has given to us and not use them at all. Friends, we must use them. If really we are very grateful to him for what he has done for us, saving us out of darkness into his marvelous light, then we must be making all these gifts that's given to us to serve him. How well are we making use of our gifts to serve him? How well? Now, if we want to use our gifts to serve him well, something which we must do, we must use our gifts reverently, as we said. We must use our gifts carefully. In other words, improve on the gifts that he has given us. And number three, use our gifts faithfully. Now, if we use our gifts that way, then we will be pleasing the Lord and we will be a great blessing to others. Now, gifts must be subject to testing. My third point. Now, in the early church, some gifts were not genuine God-given gifts because people were using those gifts to teach doctrines that were false. They claimed that they had been given true, genuine God-given gifts. But the proof as to whether the gifts were genuine was the fruit that was produced by the gifts that were supposedly given. How could the gifts be genuinely God-given gifts if these people actually did not preach the Lord as he should be preached, but they called Jesus accursed? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Yes? So they were false teachers. The gifts given were not genuine gifts. Chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand, Paul says, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, but they were calling Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. They were in fact undermining the deity of Christ. They were saying that Christ was not God, or Christ is not God. Now, since the time of the early church till now, till today, this is still happening. Yes, all the cults without fail, all the cults without fail attack the deity of Christ. All of them say the same thing: Jesus is not God. And if they say that Jesus is God, he's really a sub-God, they say. He's only a created God. He's not really the self-existent God, but a created God. That's what they say. My friends, surely the gifts that are given to them are not genuine God-given gifts. Then today there are so-called great Bible scholars who appear to have been given great spiritual insight and great spiritual knowledge. But the gifts are not genuine because they are actually attacking the Word of God. As some say that the Bible is not the Word of God, but the Bible contains the Word of God. Now there's a vast difference between the Bible being the Word of God and the Bible just containing the Word of God. Now if the Bible just contains the Word of God, it means that some parts of the Bible are not the Word of God. That's what it means. Yes, so there's a vast difference. Then the others are attacking the Word of God by coming up with versions of the Bible that are not faithful. The many modern translations, they are not faithful translations. And the best argument given by the promoters of these new versions of the Bible is that these new versions of the Bible are most readable, easy to read, easy to understand. Therefore, they are better for use than the old King James Version. Sounds like a very good argument based on readability. But the problem is these versions are corrupt. Yes, again, you find that many of these versions are actually undermining the deity of Christ. And some attack his birth. They say, oh, Jesus was not born of a virgin, but was born of a young maiden, a young woman. You find these words in the new versions of the Bible. Now, let me give you one version of the Bible, all right? I'll tell you how corrupt this version is. He says, this Bible actually throws out the word heaven 48 times. 48 times the word heaven is thrown out, not found in this Bible, 48 times. Hell thrown out 22 times. Blood 18 times. The word repent 11 times. You say, wow, this version must be terrible, right? Yes, 48 times heaven thrown out, 22 times hell thrown out, 18 times blood thrown out. This version must be a terrible, terrible, terrible version. But you know what this version is? I'm surprised if I tell you what this version is. You may think it's the NIV, the New International Version. No, my dear friends, it is the New KJV, New King James Version. Now, the New King James Version is not a King James Version. It's a corrupt King James Version. So understand this truth. Don't treat it as a good Bible. It is not a good Bible. In name is King James, but it is not. Now, how can the gifts of the Bible scholars be genuine, my dear friends, if they undermine the Word of God? Let us be warned, my dear friends, if people come and undermine the deity of Christ, they are not given genuine God-given gifts. Now, I've said this many times before, and I say again this morning, someday you may have a man coming to this pulpit to preach, and he appears to be a one with great charisma, great personality. He speaks very well, and then you are very, very impressed by him. But you notice that he undermines the deity of Christ. He says something that is not right about the deity of Christ. Now, what should you do as a congregation member? Continue to allow him to finish the message? my dear friends, you should stop him right away. I challenge you, if there is ever is such an occasion, God forbid that there is such an occasion, but if there is such an occasion, I challenge you to stand up and to stop that man straight away and tell him to get lost. I think you should be courageous enough to do that. My dear friends, if you want to be right with the Lord, you want to be on the side of the Lord, that is what you must be prepared to do. So friends, there are two kinds of gifts. The sign gifts, the spectacular gifts, and the non-spectacular gifts. Sign gifts were given in the early church and during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ for one main purpose, and that was to authenticate the messengers and the messages. And sign or gifts, whatever gifts they may be, sign gifts or non-sign gifts, my dear friends, all these gifts are given for the purpose of not for selfish use. These are given to us to profit withal, to profit other people. So bear that in mind, friends. All the gifts and talents given to us are for the purpose of profiting other people. And how should we be using these gifts? We must use them reverentially, carefully, faithfully. And then we can pick and choose what gifts we want from God. Yes, the Holy Spirit will give to us severally as He determines. Yes, as He so pleases, He will give us the gifts. And whether we have one or two talents, let us use them faithfully. Don't try to ask for more talents. He has given us those talents. Use them and use them faithfully. What the Lord wants from us is faithfulness. And finally, be warned against non-genuine gifts that people may appear to have. Be discerning. If the gifts appear to be undermining the deity of Christ, or if they appear to be undermining the truth of the Word of God, my dear friends, you know that those gifts are not genuine. I trust, my dear friends, that all of us understand the purpose of gifts given to us. Remember, very basically, gifts given to us, talents given to us, are not for our own selfish use. They are given to us to profit other people. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you have given from your word your truth concerning the gifts and the talents given to us. They are given not for our selfish gain, but they are given to us for the purpose of profiting others. Lord, we pray that we may have this understanding and we may have it clearly in our minds. And so, Lord, we pray that by your grace, we may endeavor to make use of the gifts given to us to profit others. Help us to use the gifts reverentially, carefully, and faithfully. And Lord, we pray that you will give us discernment and understand that what gifts are genuine and what gifts are not. Father, we pray that you will help us so that when we ever spot a gift that is not genuine, we may be able to expose the person who seems to have that gift. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.